Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the November 9th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. When the whole world shakes,
we stand firm in Christ.
When rumors swirl,
we hold fast in God's truth.
When fear rises,
we rest in God's unending encouragement.
Next is the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Next is the hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
first scripture reading is Psalm 17, verses 1 through 9. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. A prayer for deliverance from persecutors. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, you will visit me at night. If you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the words of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to hear me, hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from the adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. This is the word of the Lord. Next are verses 1 and 2 of O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
We turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then 13 through 17. Prior to our stewardship campaign and the messages that were in line with the stewardship season, I turned back to the epistles of the New Testament to see as the life of the new church is being tested and tried, is growing and being challenged in many different ways. Today we turn to 2 Thessalonians, find the church challenged in yet a unique way until now. Let's jump in. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, sisters and brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us to the effect that that day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But you must always give thanks to God for you. But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, God has called you through our gospel, so that you may attain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, sisters and brothers, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord. So my sermon title, whoops, where is my sermon title? Let's see. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Let's go back then. We'll leave it at that. My sermon title, as you see it printed in your bulletin, is Stand Firm in Troubled Times. Have you noticed how quickly the ground beneath us has changed these days, seems to move? A single headline sets off panic. A rumor spreads online and suddenly everyone is anxious. One week the markets are up and next they're tumbling. Our technology promises to change everything, and before we've even adjusted, it already has. We live in a time of chronic instability. That's not new. The early church, the one that we've just read this letter addressed to, Thessalonica, just a few decades after Jesus' resurrection, they're already wondering what will come in the future. The day of the Lord, they thought, maybe has come and we have missed it. Jesus' second coming came in a silent and secret way, and somehow they thought, uh-oh. It came and went and we missed it. Someone had told them that the day of the Lord had come. Jesus' second coming had already come, and yes, they somehow slept through it. You can almost hear the fear in this letter. Did we misunderstand? Did God forget us? Are we too late? And God's moved on without us? And so Paul writes to them to address this concern and this anxiety. And he writes to them not to decode the end times to say, here's how it will lay out, A, B, C, D. But instead, he writes to steady them. Here's the heart of Paul's message, and listen to its tone. Do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. Stand firm. Hold fast to the traditions you were taught. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and every word. This is not pastoral language. Let me back up. I read that wrong. This is pastoral language, not apocalyptic charts. And perhaps you've seen apocalyptic charts where some preacher in some part of the globe says, I've discovered it. I have solved the riddle. I know when Jesus is coming back. I know the day, I know the year, and I know the time. And then they lay out their charts to prove their point. Remember the words of Jesus when his disciples asked, when will this be? And Jesus said to them, no one knows, not even me. Only God the Father knows what time and when and how. So Paul is not giving them a timeline. Instead, he's giving them an anchor. He's saying, you don't need to know every detail of how history ends to know who holds it together. That's the word we need now. When we feel overwhelmed by chaos, Paul calls them and us back to center, back to Christ, who remains constant in all things. It is all anchored in love. In verse 16, Paul points out to them in the heart of stability, our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Think about that. eternal comfort, good hope. Those two gifts never expire. They're not dependent on the economy, the election results, or even the latest wave of bad news. When the world tumbles, God's love does not. When people shout competing truths, grace still speaks the last word. Stability is not found in predicting the future. It's found in resting in the one who holds the future. So how do we stand firm in troubled times? Paul gives us a clue. Hold fast. Hold fast to the traditions that you were taught. That doesn't mean that we cling to nostalgia. No, no. Instead, it means rooting ourselves in the practices that we have always steadied God's people. The first of those practices is prayer. When everything feels uncertain, prayer trains our heart to return to what is certain. It doesn't change the storm, but it changes us within the storm. First, prayer. Second, scripture. The Word of God reminds us who we are and whose we are. It's not a simple ancient text. The scriptures are living and breathing, and the living and breathing steadies troubled souls. First, prayer. Second, scripture. Third, community. When fear isolates us, the church gathers us. Standing firm is not a solo act. It's a communal posture. Remember the imagery in the story, the animated story, Happy Feet, that as the female penguins head south to later lay their egg, it is the males who remain. And how do they remain through the bitter cold? They stand together. They shoulder the cold together. When fear isolates us, the church gathers us. We need one another's faith when our feels thin. One another's hope when ours is running low. When we pray together, read together, serve together, we create a rhythm of stability in a very unstable world. Paul tells us to practice this kind of stability. As we consider this, I think of a woman that was in a congregation I served some years ago. Let me call her Mary. Mary lost her husband a few years ahead of it. Everything she counted on, her daily routines, her sense of direction, all of it was shaken. In those first few weeks and months, in that first few year, she said she really struggled, really felt unstable on the ground she stood on, how to even start her day. She told me later, looking back, every morning she made herself do three things. She brewed a cup of coffee. She opened her Bible to read the Psalms. And she whispered the Lord's Prayer, sometimes whispering the Lord's Prayer through tears. And those small, steady habits, day by day, they didn't erase her pain, no. She felt very alone. She'd lost her husband of years. But they gave her footing. They reminded her that even when her world collapsed, God's world still held. And that's what Paul is saying to us when he uses the phrase, hold fast. We're not grasping for control. We're holding on to the threads of grace that keep us connected to God and keep us connected to one another. And in this, there is a power of habitual hope. A writer once said, "Don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your habits." That's true spirituality, my friends, the level of our habits. When life shakes us, we revert to our spiritual habits. If we've cultivated prayer, gratitude, community, then those habits will stand up and stand out when nothing else can. So Paul's invitation to us is very simple and yet very profound. Hold fast. Hold fast, not to fear, not to predictions about what will come or even what may come, but to the faith that formed you and me. And the final word for us is comfort. Notice that Paul ends his letter not with a warning, but rather with a blessing. And that blessing, as he so often does as he ends a letter, but especially this one, may the Lord Jesus Christ comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. Comfort and strength. That's what God offers, not panic and speculation. Even when times are troubled, grace is not. Even when the future feels uncertain, the one who calls us to remain faithful is very certain. So today, so this week, stand firm and let your roots go deep, deep into prayer, deep into scripture, and deep into the fellowship of fellow believers, you, brothers and sisters. Storms will come, but they don't get the final word. Love does. Grace does. Christ does. In a shaky world, we don't need to know when the end will come. We only need to know who will meet us there at the end. And that's enough. That's enough to stand firm, knowing who will meet us there. Amen.
Next is verses 3 and 4 of O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Next is the hymn, My Hope Is Built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sun.
my friends, go forth. Go forth into God's world in peace, to till and to tend, to plant and to praise. May your hands be gentle on the earth, your hearts open to the wonder of creation, and your life bear fruit that blesses the world. And as you go, may the Creator who formed you from the soil, the Christ who walked upon it, and the Spirit who renews it day by day, bless you and keep you now and forever.
Thank you.
I think the battery died. Because I